Are you ready? Say, I have eyes that see.
I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
And I have a heart that perceives what your Holy Spirit is declaring to me. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. I want to take you to Isaiah 53. Because this week, he was pressuring me to realize the depth of what Jesus went through and how deep the injuries. And in Isaiah 53, I think what happens is the most important part. If you will look at verse 13 of 52, we're going to get a idea. Okay, the suffering and glory of the servant. See, my servant will act wisely. So who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Who else is he talking about? The corporate Christ. Yes, the church is going to be the bride. And she's working on becoming a bride. Now, what does a bride do before her marriage? She gets herself ready. Watch. See, my servant will act wisely.
Pastor, where are you? I'm sorry.
In 52, verse 13 first. 53 is the focus, but we need to see a little bit of what it's forecast, okay? See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations. Notice it's not people. Nations. So he's after nations. When the house of prayer was formed, it was formed to become the house of prayer for all nations. Amen? So that's what he's after. The kings will shut their mouths because of him. That's future. That's not yet. That's future. For what they were not told, they will see. That's also future. And what they have not heard, they will understand. Now, that's prophetic in my book. That's the bride. That's when Jesus is alive in his people, and they will understand. How many of you have ever had a crisis where you get to the point you say, God, I can't get it. I don't catch on. What's going on in my life? Well, there you go. There's a prophetic word here through Isaiah, that says you will understand. Understanding is part of God's joy to give you an awareness of what he's up to with you. Not how is he going to fight me? How is he going to adjust me? How is he going to beat me up? Because he's not interested. Jesus already was beaten up for you. Okay? Even today, if somebody's been accused of a crime, and they go to court, and they are told they're not guilty, can they be tried again for the same crime?
No.
No. Why?
Double jeopardy.
Thank you. So, watch now. Because remember, the letter from Isaiah didn't have numbers. So 53 just happens to land there, okay? Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm releases what? It flexes what?
Strength.
Strength and power from the man, yes. He grew up before him like a tender shoot. Before whom? Before Father. And like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. So in other words, he was not a seducer because of his looks. Got it? Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. So what would that make him? Average. Common. Amen? Verse 3 is important. He was despised and rejected by men. Now, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, but I already know a great majority of those that are here are because they've been rejected by men and women. When the Holy Spirit called me to serve, I had no value in my own eyes. I didn't see myself as a gift. I didn't believe some of the words that the Lord had decreed over me because they didn't fit the picture of my past. Until he began to push my buttons to let me know that my past was not an example of my future. Some of you are nodding right now. And you're saying, yeah. So just close your eyes for a moment. And put one hand in the back of your head. Say, Lord Jesus, my past is not a picture of my future. Because my future is bright. My future is healthy, wealthy, and wise. Hallelujah. That's my future. My future is recreation. And resurrection. That's my future. It's settled. In Jesus' name. So he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with partying. I know some people who that's all they know is when is the next party? Why and how can we have another party? Because that's the only time that they have any joy. And in case you forgot, I was no different than my friends. I enjoyed partying. Did I get drunk or high? No. But I enjoyed partying. Why? Because it erased some of the rejection and some of the pain so that I could come up a little bit and forget that tomorrow was going to be worse than yesterday. Because I even planned for the negative. Do you ever listen to your mouth?
Yeah.
Thank you. Not going to say anymore. I'm not going to accuse you. I'm just giving you a heads up, okay? A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their face. So that's pretty bad. If they literally saw him coming, they would turn the other way. Now, that one, I would ask, how many of you have tasted that? And you say, oh, what's wrong with me? Why can't they look at me? Well, they can't stand the light in you. They cannot stand the light in you. Therefore, they want to look the other way because it's blinding to them. Not to their natural eyes, but to their spiritual eyes that are coming out of their heart, their inner man. Do you ever see somebody that can't stand your guts and you can tell without saying one word?
Yep.
Why? Because the darkness is literally staring at your light and it's like walking into a set of headlights. And at high beams, you can't what? So the person who's coming towards Jesus can't stand him and they hide their face. He was despised and we esteemed him not. So he had no real value in their eyes. That should connect with some of you. Verse 4. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Infirmities are sicknesses and diseases. Amen? He took them up. And he carried our sorrows. That includes the things that you and I feel in our emotions. Amen? Yet we considered him stricken by God and smitten by him and afflicted. You see, the Jewish mindset is God has a big stick and he's going to adjust you no matter what it costs. And no matter how much he has to beat you up, he's going to get through to you eventually. And he's going to break you. Is that a picture of the average man wanting to be like a horse and jump the fence? Yeah, it is. We want to get away from any type of adjustment because we're fearful of God. Then it swings the other way. When we get to know that it's a loving Father that we have for a God, then we kind of lose the other. And so that Gail's testimony was today. It's adjustment time. It's time for balance. It's time for respecting. Verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgression and he was crushed for our iniquities. Pierced, penetrated, exposed, made to taste every form of rejection and beating that you and I could never, never conceive. Crushed for our iniquities, for our guilt. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. So what he tasted brings peace to me. And by his wounds, we are healed. Healing is also procedural. It's not a one act, 1 minute, second, miraculous deliverance. Although I've tasted that. And many of you may have tasted that. But there are other healings that come a little bit at a time. Amen? Some of it may take months or years. How many have ever had a person that was really demanding a lot from you and injured you, and then you forgave them after you became a Christian? Then the next level, a few years later, says, how about forgiving so-and-so? And you say, well, I already forgave them. And you kind of say, well, you know, I forgave them a long time ago. I'm not holding anything against them. And the Holy Spirit will tell you, well, what about this aspect of their injury to you, which you had not considered? It's like having an infected leg. And you've got to keep pouring antibiotic on it until all of the infection is washed away. How about if you soak it in Epsom salt? Day after day, day after day, day after day, until. There are times in you and me that when we realize that his wounds were not instantaneously delivered, he suffered not only the beatings, but the walking with the cross. He fell on top of the wounds. Did you ever fall on your butt when your body is just one big sore? That would have brought activity to every part of his body. And excruciating pain. I believe that that was allowed so that we would understand that we can be patient in our own difficult space where we're not totally delivered, where we're not totally healed yet. We're still in the progress of that healing. Amen? The next part, verse 6, we are all like sheep. Got it? We are like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned. No, not me. I don't turn to my own way. Yeah, really? That's not what the word says. He doesn't say some will turn to their own ways. He says all. Amen? But his provision is sufficient for me. Amen? And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Some. No, all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Wouldn't you like to defend yourself once in a while? Yeah. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Again, the lamb, right, Mary? Like a lamb. He wasn't a lamb, but he was a lamb. As a sheep before her shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. And I want to take a time out on that, on verse 7. The man who brought me up was a butcher. Slaughtering animals was something he did from the time he was a teenager until he came into the fullness of his adult life. Several years after he was born of the Spirit and got to know Jesus as Lord and was reading his Bible, we went on a trip, him and I. Mom wasn't well, and we had a family member who had passed away in Canada, and we drove all the way to Canada, which was like 5 hours in a car, so we had some quality time, Dad and I. I don't know how the subject matter came about the Lamb of God, but one thing was brought out by my dad. He said, the one animal that I will never, never slaughter again is a lamb. He was a teenager, 19, 18, whatever. And his dad had purchased several lambs, and they needed to be slaughtered to be sold. He said he had killed pigs, he had killed horses, cows, bulls, etc., pigs of all types, young and old alike, age didn't matter. Every single one of those animals had resistance. Meaning they fought to stay alive. They could sense the smell coming into the slaughterhouse. And I've witnessed that because I assisted for a while when I was a boy. But a lamb does none of that. He said, the lamb just lays there waiting to be literally cut open. And he said, I can remember one of those lambs. He said, I was holding it on its back with its neck against my leg. And it had zero reflex. Just laid there like a wet blanket on my leg. Even when I had the knife ready to slice, he said there was zero resistance. So if you want to see the nature of our Savior, when it came time for his test, God so pressured him with grace and favor that he was not resisting in any way what was being done to him. And I can tell you that the Romans were not very sweet. But he just let it happen without resisting. And that was one of the reasons why my dad said, I'll never kill another lamb because I can't handle it emotionally. Because he says, when I had the knife ready to kill it, he said, the tears were running out of my eyes, falling on its belly. He was oppressed, afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? Us. For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people. He was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge of my righteous servant, will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor. He made intercession for you and me. My suggestion is, if you have time this week and there's a press in your heart, go back to that chapter. Take a good look at what the Savior did for you and me, and then request his instructions for you, so that you'll see yourself as valuable in his eyes. You have greater value than you maybe discern or feel or experience so far. And my heart is to tell you that when he began this work, he already knew the end result because God the Father has showed it to him. And without a vision, people perish. So I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to put your hand over your heart. Say, without a vision,
without a vision.
I might perish.
So I want to learn.
Your revelation. To me. Because you've got a plan for me. And a plan for my life.
And it's an awesome plan.
Yes, it's a plan to bless.
To build me up.
And to prepare me.
To be a king and a priest.
In Christ Jesus. So, have a blessed and holy day today, days to come, and God willing, we'll see you.